I'd like to welcome all of you to worship this morning. Today is the first Sunday after the Epiphany, and the Epiphany is the Sunday that recognizes Jesus as the light of the world, the King of the nations, and He has come to rule and to reign, and it is Him that we have gathered this morning to worship and to exalt. And so I do want to welcome you as we worship our great God this morning. Hopefully all of you do have a worship bulletin, and within that there is a little tan communication card. We want to invite you to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as that comes by later on this morning. And also, as always, there is a place on the back of that card for you to write down any prayer requests that you may have. And we do delight in lifting up the prayers of this people on a weekly basis. A few announcements before we begin our worship service. Is immediately after worship this morning, we'll have a brief congregational meeting. The purpose of this meeting is for the members of Seminole Presbyterian Church to vote on our officer candidates, both deacon and elder candidates, and those names have been sent to your homes. And so immediately after the worship service, we'll pass out the ballots. There'll be a vote. And then we'll proceed from there. The meeting should not take very long at all. Also, coming up this Friday, we do have Culture Tap, and that's going to be at the home of the Pothovens, and it'll be beginning at 7 p.m., so do take note of that. And then also, though it is only January 8th, we are looking ahead to the summer for a vacation Bible school program for our elementary age kids. And the last few years, Kelly Fernandez has took the lead in being the VBS director. And this year she wants to ask if someone would come alongside and be an assistant director so she can hopefully show the ropes, how it's done, so that she could possibly take a break next year. And so if you are willing to step forward and be an assistant director, please let us know. Contact Kelly Fernandez, or you can let any of the church staff know as well. And coming up on Friday, January 20th, we're very pleased to announce that we're going to be offering a Seminole Heights Fine Arts series, and we're going to be having our very own Grace Giuliano, who plays the cello for us. And it's going to be a concert that is going to showcase a number of pieces written by Bach. And so do make note of that. This is an event that we want to have for our community. And so be aware of not only we'd love for you to come down, but for you to invite friends, neighbors, things like that, to attend this great event. A number of other announcements that we do have in our bulletin, some women's ministry events that are coming up, and also, like I highlighted last week, we have a retreat for our high school students coming up. I do want to mention that the sign-up deadline for the early registration is next Sunday. So though we've been talking about this event for a long time, that deadline is creeping up, so I wanted to make sure it's not out of the radar there. Many other announcements in the bulletin, do be sure to read through that, but for now, let's prepare our hearts for worship. That is why we have woken up early and gathered here this morning. I ask that you would turn off all electronic devices, put them in silent or vibrate mode, so as not to distract you or anyone else from the sole purpose of what we've gathered here to do. So let's prepare our hearts to worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 72, verses 1 through 11. And just so you are aware, this call of worship does span over two pages in your worship bulletin. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. The desert tribes will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. I invite you to stand as we glorify God in song, singing hymn number 296, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Father God, as the king succeeds, so will the nation flourish. And it's for that very reason that we thank you and praise you for our king and your son, Jesus. We thank you that he is a good king, endowed with justice and righteousness. He defends the needy and crushes the oppressor. And therefore, this morning, we declare that he is our king, and we submit to him. Father, would you draw near to us, and would you find our worship pleasing in your sight, for it is in the name of Jesus the King, and by your Holy Spirit that we approach you in worship. All glory be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are one God forever and ever. Amen. Well, following along in your bulletin, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Scripture lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 9. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nest? Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar, with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. The word of the Lord. I invite you now, if you are able, to kneel before the Lord as we come to a time of confession. Father, you indeed are the God of the nations. The radiance of your incarnate word pierces the darkness that covers the earth and beckons all nations to walk in your light. And as we come to Jesus, the light, we cannot help but to have our sin exposed. We confess that our sin and pride hides the brightness of your light. We turn away from the poor. We ignore the cries for justice. We do not strive for peace, but rather live for our own comfort, when all along, our only comfort in life and in death is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, in this brief time of silence, we ask that you would hear and receive our prayers of confession. And Father God, we ask that you would hear us as we all pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. And here the gospel of Christ, an assurance of pardon from the gospel of John chapter 3 and also chapter 8. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. And when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that is good news.
Thank you.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Ephesians. It is all of chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promises in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Would you join me in prayer once again? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Sunday, which we acknowledge the Epiphany of our Lord. And Father, we thank You that indeed Jesus is the light of the world. Father, I pray that we would take to heart the words of sacred Scripture, that we would shine and that You would be glorified through our worship this morning. Father, I would pray also that through the extension of Your church and the development of it, that, Lord, You would be glorified and praised. Father, we are feeble as we appear before You, and yet You invited us to come and to be in Your presence, to worship You, but also to be filled up, as Danny read in Ephesians 3, by You via Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning that You would encourage us, that You would stop us and arrest us and make us consciously aware of Your presence this morning. Father, help us to see the light of Jesus Christ afresh and anew as we begin this new year. We pray for peace, Lord, amongst our world. We ask that You would grant peace and bring an end to war. Father, we pray for those who lead in high office as we begin a new year, that, Lord, You'd give these men and women wisdom beyond their years. Help them to lead as they ought. We pray for our city of Tampa, all those in authority. Lord, we ask that You would bless them as they lead, And bless us, Lord. Help us to be good citizens. Father, we pray for needs close to home. We continue to lift up our sister in Christ, Lois Callan. Lord, we pray for Martha Thompson as she recovers from surgery. We pray for our sister in Christ, Judy Dolstall, Lord, in the sale of her horse, and also with matters related to adoption with her extended family. Bless her and bless her family today. Father, be with Servi and Raquel Fernandez as they seek to take care of their senior citizen mothers, and Lord, as they seek to give proper care and consideration to them. We pray for our meeting this morning, Lord, that you would bless it and that officers would be elected to lead in the coming year and coming term. That, Father, you would give us great wisdom as we seek to follow you, not in haughtiness and pride, but in humility and through prayer. Lord, bless Seminole Church. Help us to be a blessing to thee and to those around us. Father, we pray for our women's ministries, that you bless them. We pray for Vacation Bible Schools that approaches in the summer, and for assistance for Kelly Fernandez. We pray for our women's ministries, Lord, in the Bible study that will start the next week, and Lord, also the dinner fellowship groups. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our women as they assemble together to get to know each other and to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our brother in Christ, Joe Donito. We thank you, Lord, that he's here with us this morning and that you've begun healing in his body, and pray that you would continue to heal him and strengthen him, Lord, this day. Father, we pray for those who are shut in or confined. We pray for Virginia Doley and Mr. Mel Lewis. I ask that you'd be with them today. We pray for Dave Hawes and Donna Judy Vanderplug and Jeff Lee and SIEATN. Missionaries supported by our church. Lord, we ask that you would touch these lives and these families and bless them, Lord, wherever they're at this morning. Bless their ministry. Father, we pray for extended family members. We pray for B. Friesner. We pray for Rodney Nagel. We pray for Nick Battles, Paul Helbing. We pray for Augustina Livesay and Stephen Dickey. And we pray for Glenn Clark, Glee Hamilton's brother with heart disease. Lord, hear these names. Father, minister to these individuals and families. Lord, we pray that you would work in their lives and in their bodies. Bring healing, bring restoration, bring light. Lord, thank you again for such a great salvation. And I pray that you would quicken our hearts as we continue in this worship experience. Lord, remind us that we're here for you, first and foremost. That, Lord, as we bless you, as we praise you, as we do all things for your honor and glory, that, Lord, we cannot help but benefit by default. Help us to understand these things. Help us to pause and to worship you with all of our might. Even now, as we pray that model prayer that you taught us so many years ago, through the Lord Jesus, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of the Lord. Well, I invite you to stand as we sing our offertory hymn number 235, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." Our offertory statement this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. Would you pray with me? Father God, we do acknowledge that all of our blessings come from your hand, and so we give you thanks, and we rejoice, and we are glad because you reign. And so as an act of worship and with great joy, we bring to you our tithes and our offerings. We ask that you would use these for your glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Let's stand for our King. be seated. If you would, you could take your Bible and open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, or simply look at the text in your bulletin. As Danny mentioned earlier, the word epiphany means appearance or manifestation. And we associate that with Jesus being the light of the world. Ordinarily, this is celebrated on the 12th day after Christmas Day, which is, of course, January the 6th. In the Eastern Church, that's why they have the diving for the cross that we witness up in Tarpon Springs. The Greek Orthodox, as they celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. And traditionally, it's associated with the visit of the Magi from the East, or the wise men, the account of which we find in Matthew 2. And I want to focus on that passage this morning, Matthew 2, 1 through 12, but I also want to use the other two passages of Scripture as supporting Scriptures for the main thrust of the message, which is some characteristics concerning the wise men. I want to focus on three characteristics of these wise men this morning that I believe are found for us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. The first is the seeking of the wise men. The second is the worship of the wise men. And then finally, the giving of the wise men. So along with a synopsis of the message, would you join me in prayer as we begin this morning? Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We wish to see Jesus and Him only, and we make our prayer confidently in His name. Amen. Well, notice these three characteristics with me this morning quickly. The first is the seeking of the wise men. Clearly, we learn from verses 1 and 2 in the passage that these wise men are seeking after the Lord Jesus. The Bible says after He was born, these men came from the east to Herod, and they said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw His star in the east, and we have come to worship Him." Yes, these wise men were seeking after Jesus Christ. And clearly we learn from Scripture that the Bible says for us to seek. To seek. As you begin 2012 this year, I want to challenge you with this passage, along with the wise men, along with other places in Scripture, to seek after God. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Hebrews 11:6 says, "God rewards those who diligently seek Him." And who could forget the words of Matthew 7 of our Lord Jesus? "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Now, clearly the God of sacred Scripture commands us to stir ourselves up and seek after Him. One of the banes of our age is that too often we have a tendency to sit back and wait for God to do something for us, for God to motivate us, or for God to manifest Himself to us, really essentially for God to do everything for us. Back in the 70s, we used to call this the let go and let God movement, almost as if we had no responsibility whatsoever. And yet, there is, in the call of God and the manifestation of God to human beings, inherent in that call and manifestation, a command to respond by faith. You'll notice the passage in Isaiah chapter 60, that magnificent prophet. Chapter 60 speaks of Zion's peace and prosperity, and it falls in the final section of Isaiah's prophecy in chapters 58 through 66, which speak of everlasting deliverance and everlasting judgment. And the passage alludes to the fact that not only will God bless His chosen people, but that He will be a blessing to the nations, and that His people will be enriched and blessed by the nations. But you'll notice in Isaiah 60, the passage begins in verse 1 with, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." In other words, respond to the light. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to do what the Apostle Paul said in the pastorals, to stir myself up, to take a look at what God has done for me and His kindness in my life. I remember these words as a child. I remember my mother coming in my room every morning to wake us up. She would say, "Arise and shine. Get out of the bed. Make up your bed and get ready for school." I never knew it came from Isaiah 60. I don't think she knew it came from Isaiah 60. At any rate, we're called to respond and to stir ourselves up. And so the plain point this morning is, the seeking of the Magi should be our seeking this new year in 2012. Let me say a few things about that. Number one, start seeking regardless of where you're at right now. You say, "John, you don't know my situation or circumstances. You don't know what I'm dealing with my parents. You don't know what I'm dealing with my spouse in my family unit." Listen, start where you are at. You'll notice these wise men, they couldn't have been further away from Jehovah. They were different culturally, geographically, spiritually. Some scholars say they might have come as far as 1,000 miles away from regions of Persia and South Arabia and maybe even the Orient. They were not Jewish. They were not familiar with Israel. They did not have sacred scripture. They were not Jews. Nevertheless, with all these barriers in the way, they came seeking. And all they had to go on was a star. But with that star, they followed. And I want to challenge you with that this morning. Start where you're at. You say, "You don't know how far away from God I am." It doesn't matter. You couldn't be further away than these men, spiritually, culturally, geographically. Begin to seek after God. Number two, use all the means of grace at your disposal. I think it's quite fascinating that these men were simply following a star at first, and subsequently they made their way to Jerusalem, a capital city, a great place to extend a search for the King of the Jews. You see, by good and necessary inference, they realized that if we're looking for the King of the Jews, we might as well go to the capital city. And God used a star to lead them there. Next, they get assistance from Herod and the Jewish leaders, indirectly, as they relate to the sacred scriptures. And they find out that the Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem. I think that's fascinating. Here are these wise men going with nothing but a star. And that star leads them to Jerusalem, the capital city. And in Jerusalem, indirectly, this king, this wicked King Herod, who is an Idumean, he's not even a Jew, tells the spiritual leaders of Jerusalem to come inside and tell him and tell the wise men where the Christ is to be born. And so these guys come in and they open up the scriptures to Micah, incidentally, and they say he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so as these wise men from the east, with no connection to the religion of the Jews at all, begin their search, they use the means of grace at their disposal. This is a beautiful picture of general and special revelation. God uses a star, and He uses even sinful human beings, and then He uses the Word to give these guys direction as to what to do and where to go. And He'll do the same for you and me too in 2012. The Bible says in James chapter 1, "Receive the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul." 2 Peter 2, the Bible says, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow up unto salvation." Start seeking wherever you're at, and use all the means of God's grace at your disposal. Then third, note that you can be helped or hardened by sacred scripture. I think it's quite fascinating that Herod calls the spiritual leaders in and he says, "Where's the Christ to be born?" And they look into the Bible and they find out in Bethlehem. And you know that Herod doesn't really want to worship. Herod doesn't really want to crown Jesus as king. Herod wants to kill Jesus. But those same scriptures that help the Magi find Jesus are the scriptures that harden Herod to Jesus. And that's what takes place every time you open your Bible, every time you listen to a sermon. The Spirit of God moves, and He is either softening hearts to receive the engrafted word, or else He's hardening hearts. And that's a frightful thing. What's going on in your life? I have to ask myself that question. Even as a pastor, what's going on in my life? Is there a longing and a zeal to read God's word and to be exposed to the things of God? Or are those things simply hardening me to spiritual matters? Well, I want to challenge you in 2012 to seek after the living God. Begin where you're at and use all the means of your disposal. Allow God to speak to your heart concerning whatever is going on in your life. The second thing I want you to notice is the worship of the Magi. They were seeking after Christ. It's very clear in verses 2 and verse 11, the Magi are seeking after Him in order to worship Him. Now I want you to mark this, because this should be a challenge to our worship. Worship takes place when Jesus Christ is present, when the worshiper seeks with all of his heart, with all of her heart, to meet with Him. And you'll notice in verses 2 and especially verse 11, the Magi didn't go to the manger, as people often think, or we like to think of that, but this is probably several months after Christ was born. So they came to the house in verse 11. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped. I want you to notice there's no organ, no piano, no music of any kind. There's no choir, no preacher, no ushers, no incense, no colors, no robes, no air conditioning. None of those things that we often think of when we think about gathering for worship. I think too often we get caught up in the elements or the accoutrements of worship, and we lose sight of the essence of it. I think that's one of our problems in North America. We have a service mentality. We come to worship and we ask that fundamental question, what's in it for me? Instead of preparing our heads and hearts to go to worship saying, this is what's for Him, that I'm seeking to give Him His due. The American church, so often we measure success by bodies and buildings and budgets. But the Lord God says, no, the measure of success is whether or not the church is practicing the essence of true worship. And that is coming with a heart that says, I want to give God His due. Did you notice that in Ephesians this morning? Paul is talking about this mystery, mysterion in the Greek, but the mystery of Christ being manifested to the Gentiles, not just the Jews. But he makes reference to the act of worship. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 with me. And you'll notice in verse 12, he gives the definition of worship. In Him, in Jesus, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That is the essence of worship. Is that I have a personal relationship with the living God on the basis of the merits of Jesus Christ and faith and trust in Him. And so whenever I come before the Lord, either in private worship or in public worship, there's a sense of gratitude overflowing from my heart that Christ has died for me, that I have His righteousness. And through faith in His name, I stand cleansed before a holy God. That's the essence of worship. True worship happens when we experience the presence of Almighty God through a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the point, Pastor? The point is this: the worship of the Magi should be our worship. It should be our worship. I want to challenge you. If you look back in Ephesians 3, look at verse 10 with me. Paul says his intent, God's intent, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. I had my own epiphany this year when I read that verse. I was absolutely astonished. Here is God saying that every time you gather together to worship, the chief purpose of the church is not to grow numerically or financially or even spiritually. The chief purpose of the church is that the gospel may be proclaimed, that God may be glorified, and that spiritual authorities that we cannot even see would be made known about the gospel. That blows my mind. Every time I preach a sermon, every time we sing a hymn, every time we listen to the stringed instruments or the choir sing, we are doing that for God's glory. We're not doing that as some sort of a mechanism to develop seminal church. We're here to glorify God. And when you get a hold of that, that'll change your entire life when it comes to worship. It's no wonder Jesus said in John 4 that the Father seeks those who worship in spirit and in truth. These are the kind of worshipers that God wants. Practical application: when I come to worship on Sunday morning, that should be the overflow of the worship privately in my life Monday through Saturday. When I come to worship on Sunday morning, I'm not asking what kind of music will be sung, or whether or not I like the anthem, or whether or not I should rate the reverend in terms of his sermon. What I'm asking is, am I here to give God his due? Am I here to glorify him and praise him? That ought to be the chief motivation. Let the Magi's worship be your worship as you begin 2012 this year. And begin worshiping not in public, but in private, by seeking God's face. Because your private worship will ultimately condition your public worship, how you honor and glorify God. Well, we see the seeking of the Magi and the worship of the Magi, finally the giving of the Magi. Giving was not casual or haphazard. It was not arbitrary. They worshiped and then they gave gold and incense and myrrh. The gold was associated with royalty. In antiquity, kings wore gold chains and, of course, crowns made of gold. It always pointed to royalty. Incense is always associated with worship throughout the Old and New Testaments, all the way to the book of Revelation. From beginning to end, incense points to the beauty of worship. And myrrh. Myrrh was used as an ancient perfume. It symbolized our humanity. One person in antiquity said, myrrh makes life more pleasant and death less repulsive. It was like a perfume. And people wore it when they were alive, and then they would use it to perfume the body whenever it was dead and prepare it for burial. And so with these gifts, these wise men acknowledge Jesus' royalty, his deity, and his humanity. What's the point, Pastor? The point is this: these gifts of the Magi presuppose the ultimate gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. These gifts were not arbitrary. They were not haphazard. Gold, incense, and myrrh. Those very gifts symbolize the work and the identity of our Lord Jesus. Let me remind you of something this year, 2012. As you seek God and as you want to worship him, there will be a call for you to give. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about looking at the Christ and all that he's given to you and given for you, and then responding appropriately, mentally and emotionally and willfully, not haphazardly, not ambiguously, but giving back to God as he has given to you. That's what the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh point to, that I acknowledge God's gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And I want to give back to God in a manner that is befitting his gift to me. So what do I got to do first? I got to give myself to him. That's what Paul made mention of in 2 Corinthians 8:5 when he spoke of the generosity of the Macedonian churches. He says they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us, in keeping with the will of God. The main giving in life should be giving ourselves back to the Lord in light of his gifts of eternal life to us. You see how that transcends money? When I look at the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for my sin and being raised to life, that should make me not only want to seek him and worship him, but also to give to him. to invest my talents, my skills, my abilities, to take those things that God has given me and give them back to Him. In summary, to give myself to Him first. Trust Him. And then watch Him work in my life and through my life. And that transcends our finances. It goes to every part of our being as we seek to give back to Him just a fraction of what He's given to us. May God bless us this year with our own epiphany. May He turn the light on. May we see the glory of Christ. May we bow the knee to Him. And if we've never known Him as Lord and Savior, may we state that as we begin the new year. And may we begin seeking and worshiping and giving with all of our might. Let's pray together as we close. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would make what is true in the lives of these wise men true in every one of us. That we would have a clear knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That we would seek, that we would worship, and that we would give as we begin 2012. And Lord, give us a fresh sense of epiphany of Your manifested glory and Your presence in our lives. Lord, save those who are lost. Disciple the saved. Help us to honor You in all of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to our closing hymn this morning, which is We Are God's People, number 355. We'll stand and sing verses 1 and 4 only, the first verse and the last verse only of 355. Let's stand together. Don't forget that we have a congregational meeting immediately following the worship service. The singular purpose is to elect officers. Those who are not members, if you'll make your way over to the Snyder Building, we'll have refreshments for you. We'll have Bible study after that. And we members will make our way over there after the meeting. So receive now the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will reconvene in about 2 or 3 minutes.